Welcome to Bookmarks from Christian Heritage London with your host, Dr. Kenneth Brownell.
Well, I'm Ken Brownell, and here I am at the London Seminary in the office of Bill James, its principal. So welcome, James, to our podcast.
Thank you very much indeed, Ken. It's good to be with you.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, your ministry here, what the seminary's doing, and so on.
Yeah. Okay. So my background in ministry is that I was pastor for 26 years in Emmanuel Church, Leamington Spa. And then at the beginning of 2018, I came as principal of London Seminary. And of course, this is the seminary that was established by Martin Lloyd-Jones back in 1977. With a very distinctive vision for training pastors and preachers. And his philosophy was that the best people to train pastors are pastors. That's the way we've always operated through the years. We have a wonderful group of students at the moment and a very good course. And so I'm very happy to be involved in this ministry.
Great, good. Now, you no doubt have a lot of books here and read a lot of books over your time in ministry. But what one book, if you had to choose one, has had the most influence on you other than the Bible?
Okay, well, if I just give you a little bit of background in terms of my Christian history, I grew up in a Christian home. I was taken as a child to Westminster Chapel under the ministry of Martin Lloyd-Jones. I don't think I had much conscious memory of that. My parents left the chapel after Lloyd-Jones retired from ministry in the late 60s. And then didn't go to church at all the way through my teenage years. So my formative period in terms of spiritual growth and development was very much at university. I got involved in the Christian Union. I started to read lots of books. And I guess the book that made the most impact on me in that period was the biography of Hudson Taylor. I was just struck with his passion. I was struck with the vision of this young man who was just consumed with reports from China and could not bear to imagine these 350 million people knowing nothing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and destined for eternal condemnation, and thinking of these, whatever it was, 12 million every year just tipping into eternal hell. And he was so stirred and moved by that. And so then this vision that compelled him, and then his early steps in Christian discipleship, beginning to trust the Lord. And of course, he was very much involved in the idea of being a faith mission and trusting the Lord for provision and going out and carrying out mission and evangelism in a very distinctive way, a very different way to the way which had been done before in China. So I was captivated by this story, and I shared his passion for the lost and particularly for the land of China. And so, to cut a long story short, I joined the China prayer group in the Christian Union, and we would seek to find and engage those from mainland China. This was back in 1980, so there were very few students from mainland China in those days coming over to the UK to study. But you could always spot them because they wore very dark grey or black drab clothing. They were very distinctive. They were clearly from a very different world. And we would seek to engage them with the gospel. But most of all, we would seek to pray for them, and we would seek to pray for the land of China. And so that's always had a place in my heart, and just been thrilled to see how over the decades, of course, over these past decades, the church in China has just grown and developed and multiplied. And I trust under God's hand will have such an impact worldwide in years to come.
Mm. So how do you, capture something of that spirit of Hudson Taylor for our context here, not just China? You know, we're facing a massive challenge in mission here in Europe, generally, the United Kingdom, with all the big challenges of a culture that's increasingly hostile to Christianity and just the sheer unbelief. So how do you get that? And how, perhaps at the seminary, do you kindle that sort of spirit or try to in students?
Or
how can people do it in churches as well, more generally?
Yeah. It's very difficult to give someone that passion if they don't have it. But it comes back to what you believe about preaching, first of all, in terms of how we preach and how we inspire people and how we give people a vision of the big picture of what God is doing in the world, how you give people a burden as to the desperate spiritual needs there are in the world, but then also inspiring people with, you know, examples from church history, guys like Hudson Taylor and others, who gave their lives according to this. And I think all of these things inspire young men towards this sort of radical commitment to ministry.
Yeah. But do you find sometimes maybe the, you know, people taking sustained time to study and prepare for ministry, there's a sort of tension with that, you know, it's spiritual life. And, you know, but some people might think the two things are antithetical and you need to either, you know, not study because you want to keep the spiritual life, or
yes,
you let the others sort of dissipate a bit and and it affects you down the road. So how do you keep those two things together, vital piety and learning, which the seminary no doubt stands for?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting because there were profound weaknesses in Hudson Taylor, as there were profound weaknesses in the whole faith mission movement. Because with this passion for evangelism and the sense of the urgency of the task, there can be a sense of short-termism. In other words, I need to get into ministry and I need to get out to the mission field and I need to start doing things immediately and I have no time to train and I must not withdraw to the ivory tower and academic study in inverted commas is completely irrelevant to what I will be doing in the future. And then sadly, very often, what that leads to is either burnout in the short term, or what it leads to in the longer term, and sadly we saw some of this in Hudson Taylor's legacy, is that those who follow become very vulnerable to winds of false doctrine and liberal Christianity, and they get swept away, and even to the point of losing their faith, because they've never had those foundations and they've never been enabled to be equipped to grapple with some of those challenges and some of those arguments. I think some of this balance was what was fueling Lloyd Jones's vision when he thought about London Seminary, because he saw the need of a rigorous theological education, but also he didn't want to lose that passion. And that's why the emphasis on pastors training pastors, that always in the classroom, you know, you're dealing with very erudite sometimes matters or obscure aspects of theology or whatever it might be, or grappling with your Hebrew or your Greek or whatever it might be. But the question always needs to be asked in the classroom. Yeah, but what difference does this make to my preaching? What difference does this make to mission? What difference does this make to pastoral ministry in the local church? And so to have those two things vitally connected, that's of first importance. Yeah.
Great. Good. Okay, well, let's shift to the present. And, you know, what books are you reading right now that you might think are helpful? They don't have to be perfect by any means, or you might have aspects you don't like, but nevertheless, you found helpful and might find others would find helpful as well.
Okay, well, two books, if I can just cheat slightly. So two very closely related books. The first I was going to mention was Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas. It's a very simple book. It's a book on one level that is a very easy read, and yet it's a book that is very challenging. As you know, Eric Metaxas wrote a biography of Bonhoeffer. And he starts off in the Letter to the American Church just reflecting on the experience of Bonhoeffer living in Germany as it was being overwhelmed by Nazism, and looking at how the church responded to that pressure, that political pressure, that moment of cultural change. And seeing how Bonhoeffer was just such a prophetic voice in seeing the danger of the changes that were coming down the track. And it seems that so much of the professing church was blind to those dangers and did not react in an appropriate way, and ultimately just got swallowed up in all of the evil that was going on all around. So Metaxas is really coming at us in the 21st century in the West. And he's challenging us and he's saying, well, what's going on in our age and our generation? And are we in danger of being like the German church in the age of Nazism? There are profound cultural, political shifts going on in Western society at the moment. And are we just missing out on them? He talks about the spiral of silence He talks about the fact that there are certain things in evangelicalism that we just prefer not to talk about. So, in other words, controversial ethical issues or getting into politics and so on and so forth. And ultimately, we become complicit in some of these social movements. So there are four things that Metaxas identifies as being very dangerous. One is cheap grace. In other words, just focusing on the gospel, in inverted commas, of justification by faith alone, and that's it. And I'm in Christ, and I'm on my way to glory, and hallelujah, and that's it. And I don't really need to worry about the consistency of the rest of my lifestyle. The second danger is the idol of evangelism. In other words, saying, well, I'm not going to get involved in anything controversial because I want to keep the door open with my non-Christian friends. And I don't want to blot my copybook, and I don't want to come across as a radical or someone who is coming across as angular. So the idol of evangelism blunts our witness and our testimony. The third thing he identifies is be ye not political, which he regards as an unbiblical 11th commandment, if you like. He says, how can you not be political? And then fourthly, a rather pietistic emphasis on the fact that the Christian life is just about avoiding sin and in a sense, keeping your head down. And so he's challenging us and he's saying all sorts of things are coming in at the moment. There are ethical issues, whether it be abortion, whether it be embryology and IVF, whether it be sexuality, whether it be gender, whether it be the social justice warriors, whatever it might be, there are enormous pressures. And many of our church members in secular employment are under pressure just to conform and to go along with the agenda and to accept the diversity, equity and inclusion training, and just to nod along. And he's saying, is that actually the right response? Or actually, are we being subtly overwhelmed? Yep. So in other words, he's questioning where we are in culture. I think it's very interesting. There's another thinker who I think you know about, Ken, Aaron Wren.
Yeah.
And he raises this question again, particularly about Tim Keller. Tim Keller was a giant. He was brilliant. He was one of the giants of our age. But Aaron Wren asked the question. He says, Tim Keller was particularly brilliant in a context where society is, in inverted commas, neutral towards Christianity. And he questions whether Keller's whole approach of cultural engagement is still appropriate, finding the third way and saying, oh, look, there's a little bit of good over there, there's a little bit of good over there. He's saying, no, we have subtly shifted into an area where society has become hostile to the Christian faith. And we need to be a little bit more bold. We need to be a little bit more prickly. We need to be a little bit more angular to stand up and to resist some of these pressures. So that's essentially the thesis that Eric Metaxas is coming out with. I believe a film's just been made of the book,
right.
for those who don't like reading books. And then the very closely related book is Live Not by Lies, by Rod Dreher. You'll remember Rod Dreher because he wrote the Benedict Option, and Live Not by Lies really continues that thesis. And he's taking up the testimony of those who used to live behind the Iron Curtain under communism, who've now moved to the West, and they're just horrified because they're saying, "Hang on, in the West now are the things I was running away from in communism, and actually now there is the the cancel culture, and there is the idea of social justice according to groups." And they're saying, this is essentially Marxism. And they're saying, this is the way it starts. Totalitarianism starts just very softly. Rod Dreher speaks about the gentleness of totalitarianism. Mm. And what it's saying is, it's all right, you just need to stay quiet, and you just need to keep under the radar, and you just need to pin the rainbow LGBT flag to your window, and you'll be absolutely fine and no one will bother you. And Rod Dreher is saying that's not an acceptable Christian response. And he quotes Solzhenitsyn very much, and this is the title of the book, Live Not by Lies. So you actually have to stand up and be counted. So those are the two books, really, the one emphasis that I'm pondering at the moment, the moment we're at in Western culture at the moment.
Very good. And coming back to the seminary, you'd be equipping them men here to
very much
speak into and minister in that, that kind of context. It's a big challenge for the future.
Very much so. So one of the most interesting areas of the curriculum course is the contemporary studies module, where we have, you know, lectures on, for example, critical theory, and particularly, you know, critical race theory and how controversial that is at the moment, quite apart from lectures on gender and feminism and all of those things. And talking about some of these pinch points and not only to how do we react, but then how do we equip church members to react and how do we support and encourage church members who are literally facing losing their jobs because of what's going on in the culture at the moment.
Well, thank you very much for your time and these recommendations, and trust all that's infused in the seminary with the spirit of Hudson Taylor and that real dependence on God and really longing to see him work powerfully today.
Thank you very much indeed, Ken. Thank you.
For more episodes of the Christian Heritage London podcast, and for information on Christian Heritage London events, tours, and walks, please go to christianheritagelondon.org.